Welcome back to the Man Cave Caucus Podcast. Never fear, we're here to break down this week's top stories and all the other podcast banter, you know, that we are prone to do as well. So good to be back in the Man Cave, boys. What's up, brother?
Just doing a little surviving.
Have you guys heard that on the internet yet? It's like this viral thing. It's called,
what's up, brother?
What's up, brother?
I don't think I have.
Okay.
Been under a rock all week.
It's all the new rage among the youngins. Yeah. I had to inquire about it because my daughters were doing this, and I said, what is this?
I Googled it.
Yeah. You got to be careful.
And then, so then I spread it around after that. So it's been fun. So this week, man, I tell you, it was wild, Tim. I've got at least two epic stories since the last time that we were all together, which seems like
eons,
an eternity ago, actually, because
this was an odd month.
After the Jeff City trip, we definitely needed to take a week or two off, so we're back. But one was, so I went to the Jackson County Lincoln Day, all right? Was invited up there.
They have a lot of Lincoln Days.
They do. Every county
usually
has one. Now ours is combined.
I would have thought they were all like on the same day.
No, they're like all over the place. So the incoming speaker invited me to come, John Patterson, to be at his table at the Jackson County Lincoln Day. So Naomi and I went up there, you know, drove up to Jackson County and to be at the Lincoln Day. Matt Gaetz was there. Got to meet Matt Gaetz.
Is he, what'd you think?
I thought he was great. Like,
okay.
He's a good speaker. Hilarious, actually. Like, really entertaining.
So he won you back.
Well, I've never, you know.
We were disappointed about something. I had
my questions about some of his thinking when it came to vacating the speaker back with McCarthy. But he's actually not supporting this one, by the way. MTG's motion to vacate for Johnson.
Yeah.
He's actually not supporting that because the margins are too thin. Like, I mean, if anything happens, they could end up giving it over to the Democrats. So anyway, so we get there. Matt Gaetz is late, so there's like a reception at a different place that we were invited to meet him, get pictures, you know, all that stuff. Well, his flight was delayed, so we couldn't do that. We went back over to the hotel where they're having the Lincoln Day. So they begin to kind of, at the beginning of the program, like read off, you know, who's all here tonight. You got so-and-so running for governor, running for secretary of state, you know, whatever. And when they read off the candidates for lieutenant governor, they said Representative Ben Baker. And everybody at my table is like, what? What's going
Surprise!
On?
Surprise! Yeah, right.
And I'm like, they just mispronounced it, or they, you know, they got something mixed up with the guy that's actually on the ballot by the name of Tim Baker, right?
Oh.
So I was like, it's no big deal. You know, whatever.
He's like a cross between me and you. I wouldn't trust him with anything.
Right. So we're sitting there, and then I thought, hey, I said, if they do this again, when they actually invite the candidates to come up and speak for lieutenant governor, and if they say it again, I'm going up there. And they're like, which Naomi was like, don't do it.
Yeah. You know, usually your wife has some
wisdom.
Yeah.
And everybody else was like, that would be hilarious, you know? So I was like, all right. So, but I'm like, you know, it's not going to happen, right? No, it actually did. So so Paul Berry is a guy that's running for lieutenant governor from St. Louis that I know, black Republican from St. Louis. So he spoke, and then they're like, and next up, running for lieutenant governor, Representative Ben Baker. Everybody starts clapping, and I just jump up and run up on the stage and get the microphone and launch into a speech. You know, it was hilarious. And so I start going, and then I'm like, actually, I'm not running for lieutenant governor. And like, you could see people were really, really confused. Like,
I bet.
What's happening? Has he decided that he's not going to run right now?
While he was
we're finding out. You know, it was just this quiet anticipation of like, what is happening?
Did you catch yourself wondering if maybe, just maybe, you should?
Maybe I should have, right? I mean,
launch it at Lincoln
if
Days.
It's that easy, like they announced that you're running and you actually aren't.
Yeah, I feel like that's like being called on a great adventure.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're called on an adventure of a lifetime when you tell the truth.
Yes. So I had to lower the boom and let everybody down.
But you had a little fun.
And I said, hey. Jackson County, you guys are wild, man. And I hand the microphone back to the MC, which he has this really confused look on his face. And he's like, well, I guess this is the point where I say I just read off the names of the list they gave me, you know? And so I hop down off the stage, and Paul Berry comes over, and he's just cracking up laughing, like, which everybody started laughing when they realized what was actually going on. And he's like, dude, you gave me a heart attack. You know, like he thought I was actually announcing right there.
Yeah.
And that somehow he had missed it, that I had made it on the ballot because filing's closed. So.
Was Tim Baker there?
No.
Okay.
No. No one else was there.
Ben Baker was there.
Running. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the other guy wasn't.
Is Tim Baker a Republican?
Yeah. He's from up around St. Louis, I think. But
how Republican are St. Louis Republicans?
Depends. Depends on what area.
There's
How close to downtown St. Louis?
How red? They start getting pinkish closer you get to St. Louis, I think.
You got a few that are in St. Louis County.
Well, I guess red and blue would be purplish.
Right. And then you got some good Republicans over in, St. Charles County, Wentzville, and all that area. So anyway, it was wild, man. So that's one of the stories. And then this week has been wild because we had two big bills up on the docket this week, actually did get done and sent to the governor, and it's education reform bills. So, opening up a little bit of school choice and expansion of the ESA program that we put in place a few years ago statewide. So now it's not just cities of 30,000 or more that can apply for a scholarship, anywhere in the state you can. So it's a big deal. It was a big deal. Well, this bill though has had some crazy opposition, some people that
and
really are being co-opted to lobby against the bill.
After being in Jeff City and listening to some of the stuff going on, what are the bad ideas, I guess?
Which,
is there some on both sides?
The place is full of them.
No, yeah. I'm saying
there's
school
no shortage.
With school choice.
Oh.
What is the, I'm confused at what side I'm on.
Yeah, so what happens is you have people that, they get smart, actually, and but usually what is behind it is the pro public school only people that, the teachers unions, the school administrators unions, and all those people that they don't want any school choice. They don't want private school. They don't want Christian school. They don't want charter school because it's about money. And they're like, you're taking money away from the public school.
And then, just to kind of interject what I gathered was that there's homeschoolers, which I'm a homeschool dad, but they're wanting the government, they're wanting school choice kind of for the wrong reasons too. Is that
what I understood? Here's how it's played out. Like, look, I agree with the idea. We don't want any government intrusion into our homeschools, right?
Right.
Missouri has one of the strongest homeschool laws in the country currently. Very strong. And we want to protect that, right? Of course.
Yeah.
And then what happened, though, is there's a handful of lobbyists that have been, I think, used by other people behind the scenes who have more nefarious ideas to present themselves as, we are the conservatives and we don't want government intrusion. and trying to lobby against the bills and try to make up things that they said were problems with the bills.
Okay.
So that's what we had going on. And they were just disseminating some crazy stuff that were was just absolutely not true.
Just lies.
Outright lies.
Yeah.
And one of them was, you know, somehow there's a loophole that if this bill passes, then the government can come in and take your guns if you're a homeschooler or, you know, in your home.
So the bill is good.
Yes.
It's being, yeah, and that's where I was confused, was I was thinking the bill was bad.
No.
Lobbyists, man, I had no idea.
They're good. And also what happens is...
I had no idea how powerful they were.
Yeah.
They run everything.
They do. Yeah, it's crazy.
Little office bouncers.
Yeah. So the other part was you had you've got these homeschool associations, you know, that like supposedly are advocating for the mm-hmm. homeschoolers. You know, we're up there fighting, make sure we protect your rights and all that. And it sounds good. And they collect dues from these homeschool families to exist.
Right.
Right. So you had in the beginning, you had half of those associations for the bill and half of, or at least neutral for the bill. And then others that were opposing it. And then they flip flopped. And then one changed and said, now we're opposing it. And then it went back to neutral at the end. So you have these associations that sometimes people don't realize, like, you know, again, the bottom line is they have to stay in existence. And in order to do that, they have to keep making money. And in order to do that, they have to convince people that we're doing your, you know, the job of trying to advocate for you. Right. Which sometimes they don't. And they don't advocate in the best interest of the people. But they present it that way. So then they get these homeschool people that are all riled up because they send out these emails from these associations and say, look, this bill is bad and here's all the problems with it and here's what's going on. And they just believe that because they think these associations are always advocating for the right. best interest. But the truth is they can be co-opted at times for different reasons, and they can be influenced by others. And that's what was happening. So anyway, it was this crazy fight because we're always fighting for school choice. I have been for
right.
6 years, right? But you're fighting the Democrats for sure, and you're fighting a lot of Republicans too. And it's always those issues are always really tight when it comes to the vote. When we passed ESAs, that's education savings accounts, several years ago, it was 82 votes. It takes 82 to pass. I mean, that was it. One person, if they had appealed off, it wouldn't have passed.
Wow.
So, but then they get desperate and they just start grasping at straws, trying to find something else, right, to say, oh, it's a bad bill. So they had those concerns about the guns, and they had the concerns about the definition of school and all of that in the bill. So we found a way to, because there was another House bill that was in the Senate getting ready to be brought up. So we made those changes to address that, even though I don't think they really needed to be changed. But
right.
we just further clarified it in that bill as a sister bill, really, to this other bill. And if we pass them at the same time, then that had the fixes in it, and it all goes
right.
together.
And so it kind of took some of their argument.
But guess what? It didn't work. Like, they still opposed the bill even after we made the changes.
Because they had an ulterior motive.
Exactly. So anyway, right. all that to say, one of the tactics that was used this week is I show up in my office, and I've got this note and a brownie.
I saw this
Twitter. It's laying on my desk. And the note basically tells the story about how, you know, if you were to cook a brownie and you only, you know, you put a teaspoonful of dog poop in the brownie, would you eat the brownie? You know, as if to try to make this connection, which we've heard that allegory mm-hmm. before, right? But to make this connection that, you know, some bills are good, but if there's a teaspoon of bad in it, then would you eat it? You know, which is a big difference in comparison.
Really just depends on how
between brownies and legislation.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, the way it is many times is that, you know, it's not all perfect. It's just the nature of compromise in the building when it comes to legislation. It's just the way it is. And so anyway, you know, I was completely confident in the vote of making sure that everything was protected, and it was a good bill in offering more options for parents and for kids. So anyway, we get these brownies, and it literally in the note it says that it has dog poop in it, you know, like the way they wrote it out. And it's from a pack. who you don't really know exactly who's behind it.
So I think I know. From my visit, just the ladies that were wandering the halls. Right. I think I know just who made those.
Right. So it's been crazy. Like that went viral quick because it's illegal for several reasons. Like,
yeah.
Not only can we not accept any gift from a lobbyist, which that would be a gift of value, right? Whether it's dog poop or not, I suppose. And so not only is it illegal because of that, but it's also illegal if it actually had dog poop in it because it'd be poison and you're trying to, you know, give this to the legislators or whatever.
I would have probably had to have eaten said brownie.
I think some did, actually. Some actually did eat them.
No way.
Yes. Which I did not. I was a little bit too skeptical of the intentions.
You should have brought it.
We could have dissected, you know, or have it tested.
Checked into it. I mean,
well, I think there are some who are doing that because they actually turned it into Capitol Police.
Yeah, you could have driven that a mile away to the Missouri State Highway Patrol crime lab.
Yeah, they would have gotten into it. That's probably what somebody has done.
So
I'm anxious to hear the ingredients.
Mm-hmm. So that was you know, just an absolute crazy tactic that I have never seen before.
Yeah.
People
are getting
to
creative.
Bully people into
it was
voting the way
it was probably a homeschooler.
That came from a creative homeschool mind.
Yeah. So kids at the homeschool co-op. So kids, for home ec today, we're making some poop brownies.
Come here, Fido.
No artificial coloring.
It's been hilarious. So that was one of the things that happened this week as well.
Here's what's wild, Ben. They're going to find out that they were white chocolate brownies with no artificial coloring.
Right. No artificial coloring.
Artificial coloring is all.
So
that was
just a few highlights of the week. But nevertheless, we passed the bills with 82 votes. And send them to the governor.
Keeping it tight.
That's right.
Do you think it'll get past the governor?
I do. Yeah, I think the governor.
Is that usually the case once it gets through the Senate?
Not always. He has vetoed a few bills over the years that I've been in the legislature, but usually it's, you know, something there, because the problem with the veto is if you veto one part of that bill that you don't like, it could have 10 bills all combined in one.
Hmm.
So, but if you veto one of them, and then they're all.
Well, thanks for the
axed.
Thanks for the quick lesson. I feel a little bit closer to how it all works. Mm-hmm. After the visit,
definitely, it was fun.
Definitely, really neat to see.
It was fun.
How the sausage is made.
Mm-hmm.
So, next up, whilst visiting Scranton, Pennsylvania on a campaign stop. Have you guys heard about this one? Joe Biden tells the heart-wrenching story about Ambrose Finnegan, or also known as
Uncle Bosey.
Oh. Albeit just about as unbelievable as a unicorn winning the Kentucky Derby.
Has anyone made contact with Corn Pop? I would love to have a corn pop interview.
Right.
Live from the man cave.
Yes. So let's listen up to Joe's speech talking about Uncle Bosey.
Uncle Bosey and Corn Pop.
And my uncle, they called him Ambrose Brosey, they called him Bosey. My Uncle Bosey was an athlete, they tell me, when he was a kid.
He was a bad dude.
He became an Army Air Corps before the Air Force came along. He flew those single-engine planes as reconnaissance over war zones. And he got shot down in New Guinea, and they never found the body because there used to be a lot of cannibals for real in that part of New Guinea.
So, this is the President of the United States. So what he tries to do then in this speech is he tries to tie this story that he makes up with an Atlantic article that came out several years ago that was, you know, the Atlantic is a completely left-wing rag that made the wrote this hit piece on Trump from anonymous sources, as you can imagine, claiming that he had called veterans suckers and losers, you know, for dying in battle.
Hmm.
Right. Totally believable that the President of the United States Donald Trump would make such a comment regarding our veterans. But and Trump has repeatedly denied that claim and is very adamant that he never said those words. I can't imagine anyone saying those words, like,
right,
regarding veterans. You know, unless they were some weirdo, like, what is it, the Westboro Baptists, you know, that go protest the funerals of the servicemen.
Or Aqib Tlaib, you know,
yeah,
I mean.
Yeah, a crazy like that. But yeah, so R.I.P. Uncle Bosie, lost to the insatiable hunger of the aborigines of the New Guinea, according to Biden. But then, so people begin to ask questions about Uncle Bosie, as you might imagine, in this story.
Isn't ambrosia like a disease that's like red face?
Is it really?
Isn't it?
We're going to Google it.
Joel can find while out. Joel's finding out, we did find out that a corn pop, there was a corn pop, but they're not 100% sure if Biden knew him.
Well, and his family said he's been dead for years. Why isn't anybody talking about him now?
Who, corn pop?
Yeah.
Corn pop passed.
I don't know what triggers those memories in Joe Biden. I really don't.
Well, he remembered being a top student at the law school that he went to, and that wasn't true.
It didn't turn out to be the case. So the White House actually had to admit that this story about Uncle Bosie was in fact bogus, and he actually crashed into the Pacific Ocean. So
not too many cannibals out there.
Not too many cannibals out there in the Pacific.
Pirate ship cannibals.
Well, the
that variety.
He was a chum.
Yeah. So I mean.
So that I mean, that's way better than where I was heading.
You can't make it up.
Ambrosia appears to be a beetle.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where. What did you? Was it called when you get
Ambrose?
No, when you get red, like
alopecia,
red dots on your face. No. Anyways, it's not important. We're getting. I mean, it's not important. Nothing could be less important.
Could somebody make a meme with Tim eyeballing the weeds?
Well, living in the weeds. There's children of the corn. I'm definitely children of the weeds over here. But I was thinking about it, and I should just pull a. What was the name of the newspaper?
The Atlantic.
The Atlantic. I should pull an Atlantic and just cite unknown sources.
Yeah. You can totally do that.
I'm not. I mean.
Of course, if you do that as a conservative, they're going to call you out, you know. But
well, I could also start a small paper.
You could.
And just say what I'm thinking right. And put a little bit of unknown source clout behind it.
Yeah, so the cannibals eating Uncle Bosie.
Hmm. Turns out it was
nobody even bats an eye.
Great white.
Next up, another lunatic lights himself on fire in protest. So the man identified as Florida man, Max Azzarello, sets himself on fire outside the New York City courthouse where former President Donald Trump's trial was taking place, actually, the supposed hush money trial. So the incident occurred on April the 19th as the jury selection for the trial was wrapping up. Azzarello traveled all the way to New York from Florida, took some pamphlets that he put together with him, you know, that had various conspiracy theories and whatnot. In those pamphlets, and tossed them around a little bit there before dousing himself in some kind of accelerant and setting himself on fire in the park across the street from the courthouse. It was the Collect Pond Park, which is designated as a protest area during this trial. Apparently, people had been gathering, you know, that were protesters, journalists, and just the random onlookers, the lurkers, throughout Trump's trial. And so he actually left a bit of a manifesto. It's called the Ponzi Papers. It's quite interesting, but I'll just read a few of the highlights for you. So he said this: "My name is Max Azzarello. I'm an investigative researcher who has set himself on fire outside the Trump trial in Manhattan. This extreme act of protest is to draw attention to an urgent and important discovery. We are victims of a totalitarian con, and our own government, along with many of their allies, is about to hit us with an apocalyptic fascist world coup. We are victims of a totalitarian con, and our own government is after us, he said. He said, these claims sound like fantastical conspiracy theories, but they are not. They are proof of conspiracy. If you investigate this mountain of research, I'm not sure what he submitted as the mountain of research.
That was his three-page pamphlet.
But, yeah. But he said, you
he
will
print on both sides, though.
Double-sided.
That makes it.
8 font.
That can turn a molehill right into a mountain.
He said, if you investigate the mountain of research, you will prove them too. If you learn a great deal about Ponzi schemes, you'll discover that our life is a lie. If you follow this story in the links below, so apparently he had some links there in his mountain of research.
I think it's a Ponzi.
He said, you follow this story in the links below, you'll discover the rotten truth of post-truth America. You will learn the scariest and stupidest story in world history.
Is stupidest a word?
I don't know, Joel. You can find out.
We will.
I think it is.
I would have gone for most.
I believe it is.
Ridiculous, maybe. I don't know.
Scariest and stupidest story in world history. I mean, that's a stretch. The scariest and stupidest story in world history. But anyway, he said, you will realize that we are all in a desperate state of emergency that requires your action. To my friends and family, witnesses, and first responders, he knew they were coming, I suppose.
Stupidest is a word.
I deeply apologize for inflicting this pain upon you, but I assure you it is a drop in the bucket compared to what our government intends to inflict. Because these words are true. This is an act of revolution. So, the revolution was over before it started, it seems.
Yeah.
Sad because, you know, I was really hoping for a leader for the revolution.
I got to be careful seeing things like this. I got to be careful how deep into the weeds I venture.
So that position for a leader of the revolution is vacant.
Wide open.
Yet again.
Whew. I would think after the first guy, how it went for the first guy, I would find a new way to protest, like climbing up in a redwood or something.
What's crazy is, here's a picture of this guy. Have you seen a picture of
Max?
He looks
it's
like
always
a,
the eyes.
He looks like a prime candidate for Locks of Love.
He looks like Ben Stiller.
I couldn't place who I thought he
looked
like.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
I feel like he looks like a grunge singer from the 90s, and I just couldn't
A 90s punk rock band?
Yeah. Well, grunge.
Who's the Foo Fighters guy?
Seattle. Yeah. He has Dave Grohl's hair.
Dave Grohl and Ben Stiller made a baby.
Yep.
It would be Max Azzarello.
And yeah, absolutely, Joel.
But the eyes give it away. Definitely.
Oh, man, guys.
So media actually started reporting. We're going to watch a video of this. It's pretty harrowing to watch. But the media immediately started saying that this guy was a Trump supporter, of course, you know, because that's what they do. But again, our fellow internet sleuths out there uncovered pretty quickly that he was not, in fact, a Trump supporter.
He was pretty clear that he was just anti-establishment.
Yeah.
And in the short, I've known about this for a total of about 180 seconds, and I'm pretty sure he was just anti-establishment.
Yeah, for sure. But they found out he donated to a lot of all Democrats and was a big Bernie Sanders guy. And
he was a Bernie bro for sure.
As well. But here's a video. I think this is one of the overhead shots. So you see his pamphlets there blowing in the wind.
A mountain of research.
That mountain of research is just
the pamphlets, my
blowing
friend,
around. Very colorful pamphlets, though.
In the wind. The pamphlets.
So the firefighters are putting out the fire.
Oh. Oof.
Oh, he's moving still.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's back on fire.
Yep. So they try to put him out again.
Oh, he was trying to put himself out. Oof. Would not recommend.
What are people thinking?
He's trying to put himself out.
It's like an overhead view. You can see. I mean, he's just laying there. And he catches on fire two or three times again.
Must have been straight napalm.
I don't know what he used for accelerant, but I'm telling you.
Lacquer thinner and styrofoam.
It's just, I mean, he looks like a corpse laying there.
Terrible. Looks like an Indiana Jones film.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's one of them.
I could have gone all year without seeing that.
It's pretty sick, isn't it? So, yeah, he died today, I believe.
That'll make you want to take a break from Alex Jones.
Right. So, yeah,
that's rough.
That's the gist of it.
Yeah, I feel like there's got to be a better way. Like, don't pay your taxes or something.
Yeah, there's a better way to fight against, rage against the machine, as it were. Yeah. If it were me. Like, I could think of a lot of things I think you could do to make a statement regarding your belief.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean we're pretty anti-establishment, too. But I don't think I would ever entertain that way of showing it, you know?
Think of all the aloe vera you'd need.
Like, dump truck load. Joel.
I'm pretty sure they ain't coming back. I don't think you can't even sweat anymore after a situation like that.
No. I saw an up close picture of this guy when they were putting him on the gurney.
Wasn't a whole lot.
It literally is like something out of an Indiana Jones movie.
Did you watch the original? The guy's like, officers, this guy's setting himself on fire.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
But they were all the way over at the courthouse. When they came, they came.
They
was
were
like
watching
15
it take place.
Yeah.
But my goodness.
If you go to, I think it's Laura Loomer's Twitter, she had a video somehow she acquired that was like a closer up picture of it. It was, see if you can find that, Joel.
I'm going to look away.
Loomertz. Yeah.
Laura Loomer.
I listened to Jordan Peterson interview old Ramaswamy this week.
How'd that go?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I think he's a lot more hopeful about the future than I am.
I'm glad we do have a few
dreamers.
Yeah. It's really hard to be a positive person these days. That's for sure. I mean, think about what is driving this kind of derangement. That somebody would literally take this kind of step to protest Donald Trump. You know, I mean, it's just,
yeah,
it's unreal to me.
I guess, and I'm not an introvert, but I think,
oh man, that's a really rough one, Joel.
That's a heck of a way to go.
That is an up close picture that definitely tells the story.
My pastor used to always say, we'd have a good service, and he'd say, a little heaven to go to heaven with.
Oh, opposite.
And, I think the opposite may have been.
Man.
Yeah, you don't want.
Crispy. That's for sure.
Whew.
That's rough.
But yeah, I feel like I would probably head off to Montana. Just.
Really stick it to the man that way.
Disconnect.
Right. Just go off grid.
I mean,
here he is in a Bernie Sanders shirt.
Yep.
Yeah, he's a Bernie bro.
It says, what did it say? Eat the
rice.
Eat the rice.
Rice?
Eat the rich.
Rich. He got one of the misprint shirts.
All right.
Bernie Sanders, eat the rice.
Hold on. That graphic on his shirt, it's very similar to what he ended up looking like on that gurney. It's a skull.
You know, do you ever...
Actually, and a fork.
You know the difference between a good Wendy's burger and a bad one?
What's that?
How much they cook the bacon.
Yeah.
You ever get the bacon just tasting
just crispy?
Like, it's like rocks in there.
Mm.
It's distracting. Can't throw it away because it's the best part. And you just try to imagine.
Now, I like crispy bacon, though.
I don't. I want mine to have just a little bit of...
Chewy?
No.
No.
Somewhere past chewy.
It's got to be able to break.
Oh, did you see this?
No.
Oh, man.
He called the service member a martyr.
He was inspired by, sure enough.
The last guy.
That's what it was.
He was inspired by the last guy.
The airman that lit himself on fire.
Aaron Bushnell.
See, this is why social media is the bane of our existence. Because this kind of stuff spreads like wildfire. Mm. If you know what I mean.
I've been so busy this week, I haven't been on social media.
And you're better off for it.
And no, but I went down, I got in the weeds on the way home from Indiana, listening to talks about inflation and whatnot. And I might as well have been on social media just feeding the rage machine.
It's easy to do. So before the break, one more thing. This week has been nuts, man. The stuff that has come out and happened this week is crazy. So Democrat lawmakers led by Representative Benny Thompson introduced what they call the Disgraced Act. Have you heard this? A bill that could strip former President Donald Trump of Secret Service protection if he is convicted of a felony. So, you know, the current law is that you, as a former president, you get Secret Service protection for life. I mean, even Jimmy Carter still has Secret Service hanging out at the old folks' home with him. But they are trying to strip this from President Trump. You know, of course, in the wake of the January 6th stuff, it's sparked a range of reactions with people. But I mean, think about the motivation behind this bill. It's literally assassination by legislation.
Yeah.
If this were to actually happen. They don't only want to put him in prison for crimes that he didn't commit, but they hate him so much that they really want him to die by the bullet of an assassin, if that's what it took. So it would amend the Former Presidents Act, which currently provides that lifelong Secret Service protection to former presidents, and make it to where if you were convicted of a crime or whatever, then you wouldn't have that protection. What do you think? Think it'll pass?
I don't know. I really think that the next, whoever's president next, assuming we have an election, will definitely be probably the most hated president to, like, they'll surpass Jimmy Carter on, like, it's going to be a bad deal.
The next one?
Yeah.
Whoever's
in, yeah. I'm pretty sure under their watch, it all falls apart.
So I think Mitch McConnell said something this week about they're setting a very dangerous precedent.
With the lawsuits and the...
With everything. All the stuff is starting to pile up. What happens? You can't not shovel the same pile of crap on them that they're shoveling on us.
Yeah.
Yeah, it almost forces you to fight fire with fire.
Yeah.
Since we're speaking of fire.
I hate that.
It's right. Like, here's the thing. Like, I don't think there's any going back. I really do believe that, like, the future of that level of politics is going to be lawsuit after lawsuit, trying to file to remove them like they've done several times.
Yeah.
I mean, and impeach, right? And not just the president, but Supreme Court justices, you know, anybody on that level.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the future looks like.
Speaking of the Supreme Court, I mean, I think that they're probably one of the last things standing between us and total anarchy.
Yeah. And that's scary.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. And that's, it's good for nobody, right? It's definitely not good for our country.
There's no,
because it's just this tepid idea of constant conflict, right?
It's a convoluted lose-lose situation
for everybody,
for America.
And I mean, think about the money spent on all these lawsuits.
But money is,
lawyers ain't cheap, as it turns out.
No, they are not. We really picked the wrong business, boys.
The Fed will print more.
Did you hear about, this is just a random rabbit trail, but did you hear about the, you know, those Nigerian guys are really good at that scam stuff, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, very good.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear about the guy that was able to, he was able to sell a fake airport that didn't exist to a bank somewhere for like $240 million or something of that nature?
This, has anyone bought the movie
and convinced them to, right, and convinced them to buy this airport that didn't exist?
I would, he could convince me to buy the movie rights.
And it was so good that they didn't even find out about it until quite a bit after the fact. And part of that deal was cash money that this guy made off with.
Was it a, I mean, he could sell Oceanside property in Arizona.
Right.
He's going to start, man, Arizona level, Oceanside Realty.
That is level 10 theft right there.
I mean,
like selling a fake airport.
Tell me this, though.
To a bank.
Is he he a good salesman, or did he just find the one Eskimo that wanted ice?
Well, he impersonated another person that was supposedly an official, and these people just bought it hook, line, and sinker, man.
I don't care if it is an official.
Can you imagine going to the bank, the board, when you found out?
My bad.
Setting down, gavel in. All right. Today's topic is, I got to let you guys know, we bought an airport. Just a long pause. That doesn't exist.
Like a fact that's not
explain,
a fact.
Explain that to your boss.
I definitely just, I don't even know anymore. Where's our crazy pills button? That's all I,
We need to bring that one back.
That is.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
It's literally every day. News every day.
It just becomes more and more pertinent.
I think it's a good time for a break. What do you think?
I think I need a break.
We're back from the break, and we just got done with this conversation regarding inflation and all the things. And Tim reiterated what's really going on.
We're in a mess.
We're in a mess. It's a dumpster fire, man.
But
where do you even begin?
Let's drone on.
Yeah, so let's talk about this.
Iran.
Yeah. So, last Saturday, as I was driving up to the Jackson County Lincoln Day, I found out that in a significant escalation of the longstanding tensions between Iran and Israel, Iran launched a series of unprecedented strikes against Israel through Hezbollah, which is Iran-backed, on April the 13th. And this was an attack that utilized a large number of drones and missiles, aiming at various military installations across Israel, including the Nevatim Air Base in the Negev Desert. This marked the first time Iran had directly attacked Israel, signaling a new phase in this conflict, which is, a really old conflict, actually, going back to biblical times. But as the situation developed, it was reported that Israel was considering, at first, delaying any retaliatory action until after the Passover. But then they've now conducted airstrikes inside Iran itself, again, also unprecedented in the history of the conflict. So that was bold action that is really a new level of escalation and potentially sets the stage for further retaliatory actions from both sides. So
I feel like it's just a matter of time until they pass over a nuke.
Yeah. And I mean, you know,
things get weird.
With the international community, you have the United States, the UK, also, of course, closely monitoring the situation. You know, the U.S., making warnings toward Israel to try to exercise restraint, which is hilarious. But also, at the same time, expressing its support for Israel's right to self-defense. So, seems a bit contradictory. But the UK's also, you know, supported the U.S.'s efforts in the region. But Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has made several statements regarding the retaliation efforts and has emphasized the importance of a strong response to Iran's attacks, aiming for revenge after Iran launched over 300 missiles and the drones into Israeli territory. But here's what's amazing. Do you know what the percentage of interception was with the Iron Dome?
The old Iron Dome's pretty solid. Can I venture a guess? Because I don't know.
You go right ahead.
I'm going to guess 99.999.
It's definitely 99% in several reports that I read that were intercepted. And the videos of this, we're going to watch one here in a minute, but it's unbelievable to watch. So at the first comments that Netanyahu made, he said this. He said, "We intercepted, we stopped, and together we will win." And that statement, I think, reflects Israel's determination to protect its citizens and territory while indicating a measured approach to retaliation. But watch the video of this Iron Dome defense system at work with this many rockets and drones coming into Israel. This is actually the Temple Mount, which is what's just unbelievable to watch.
It's like shooting stars.
Yeah. The sirens going off. It's unbelievable to watch. When people started hearing about this, with Iran actually openly attacking Israel and making no qualms about it, I mean, people started talking World War III, you know, which I think the bottom line is Israel could annihilate Iran as well.
Right.
Pretty easily. I think what they realize is that the weakness of the West in its protection of Israel is probably the weakest that it's been in my lifetime. And that's what they sense with this. And then you have what's going on with Gaza at the same time. So,
which they should, at this point, ignore Joe Biden and just go finish Gaza, right?
I think so.
Is that what's going to happen?
I think they should, because again, you're never going to, you know, this, even with what happened with this attack with Iran, you had people still talking about, you know, we need to have discussions, and it's like, this is past the point of discussion. You know, you have people who hate the country of Israel and they want to annihilate
it. Not just Israel.
Yeah. And not just Israel. I mean, look at this. So this is, after the attacks of Iran, you have these protests. This one is in Columbia University, I believe, or at Columbia University. And they're chanting, you've got the pro-Israel people that are here chanting God Bless America with American flags. But then you have the rest of them with Palestinian flags in the counter-protest supporting terrorism and chanting death to America. I mean, this is really like, I mean, to be honest, this is kind of like the, you know, this is the two sides. You know, pick your side. You're either with the United States of America and you're with Israel being able to defend themselves, or you're with the terrorists. But watch this video. Then it pans over and you see the lone Palestinian flag. So you hear the other ones in the background, what they're chanting is death to America. So that's kind of the
cut and dry stuff.
Yeah, that's the sides, you know.
There were good people on both sides or no? not the case?
I don't think so. And meanwhile, so also this week, you had an attack on a bishop during the church service from a terrorist. Did you see this? Mm-mm. You remember last week when we talked about, was that last week? We talked about the different way you hold the knife.
Yes.
All right. So you need to watch this play out, Joel, and
you need
and
to
tell
watch
us
Second Hand Lions.
Joel. How's the?
I still haven't seen it.
I was afraid of that.
So this is Bishop Marmari Emmanuel, and this is Sydney, Australia, I believe.
What is he a bishop of? Catholic?
I'm not sure.
That looks like Swahili behind him.
Well, there's a cross there, so.
Okay.
Probably either that or Anglican, possibly.
Mm. I did not do a, what's the class about different religions?
Theology?
No, there's a.
World religions.
World religions class. Mm-hmm. I dropped out just before that one kicked off.
That's an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
So watch this. You've got the bishop. Oh, here it is. The Christ,
Shepherd,
the Good Shepherd Church.
And he's got Jesus over here on his stand.
Yeah, I don't see any like crucifixes or anything, so it must not be Catholic.
Maybe he's Baptist.
Well,
he's probably not Baptist.
Maybe he's like
a shoot off the Baptist. He's got a stellar Moses beard. Quite I will
beard.
Say that. So this is what happens here. And this is streamed live, by the way. And this guy walks up. He's a teenager, actually, and just goes to trying to stab the bishop. And then he realizes, do you see what happened right there? He realizes that his knife didn't open. It was one of those retractable knives.
Yeah. I used to have a switchblade that had an actual switch on it. I thought it was a switchblade, but it was just a...
So the first few times...
You could smell the chine on it.
Didn't quite have the spring action.
You got to look for things like German made when you're buying.
So he looks over and he notices that the knife didn't open.
He's like, oh.
By this time, the crowd is attacking him, of course. So that happened, and there's another video, if you look it up, but there's another video that shows where he goes down on the floor with the bishop, and he's just got this evil grin on his face. Like, it's just unbelievable. 16-year-old boy.
He had a Tim Holden beard.
That was...
Come on, Joel.
Arrested, taken into custody.
Ben Baker
without the gray. But he had non-life-threatening injuries, and it even sparked a riot outside the church, actually, as well, with hundreds of people. But it's just wild watching this take place with these people who hate us.
And Australia turned all their guns in, didn't they?
Yeah. No way of protecting yourself in Australia. You're not allowed. Not allowed to own a weapon there without extraneous.
It's like Auschwitz, Australia.
Yeah. And they wonder why that I advocate for law-abiding gun owners to be able to carry a gun in church, right? I mean, we literally have terrorists here, not just in Australia, who want to kill everybody. So since then, since the attack on Israel by Iran, there have been multiple protests as well, shutting down the bridges and the highways. Have you seen any of this?
I saw a cargo ship shut down a bridge a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, did you hear that? No. Actually, the FBI is now investigating that as a criminal investigation.
Criminal as in criminal negligence or
I think it's terrorism. More so, yes, terrorism or hacking the boat to be able to run into the pier. So
yeah,
It appears as though our initial
we need it. The longer I live, the more I realize that I need a tinfoil ball cap.
Right. We will get those made
for sure. Please, can we talk to our marketing department?
Our initial suspicions are now coming true, it appears, on the boat situation.
Yeah. Now, I mean, watching that, it's still, I mean.
It's just really hard to believe that it didn't just turn right into the pier.
I've bent a rim or
by
two.
By accident.
I've bent a rim or two on some wide turns, but.
So here's a video of the pro-Palestinian protesters blocking the entrance to Seattle's International Airport. And the police are literally doing nothing about it in this situation. It's forcing the people to get out of their cars and walk to the terminal to try to catch their flights. And just leaving, just abandoning their vehicles.
That's wanting to catch a flight right there.
They also blocked O'Hare Airport, the Golden Gate Bridge, which is just...
Man.
Right.
Well, and...
A highway in Oregon, the Brooklyn Bridge... And then there were protests in New York City as well. But here's the one in
Seattle.
The Nets.
So, they closed down the whole street.
So the whole street's closed down. Everybody's cars are just parked there.
It's a walk to the airport.
People are out pulling their suitcase behind them.
What are they doing?
So there's all the...
Sheesh.
This is why you need a lifted truck.
Pro-Palestinian protesters sitting down on the street, chanting probably death to America, you know?
What do people in Seattle know about Hezbollah?
Right. Well, I'm telling you, again, it's just these kids who have nothing else to do. They're probably privileged, rich kids in many cases. Who are finding the new thing to go do and protest.
I'm telling you,
it's reaching,
I'm past
critical mass.
I'm past the point of probably being able to handle something like that. Have you noticed that each day that passes, you just get a little less patient with foolishness?
I want to know how
all of these folks that are in those cars, there ain't one of them
doing anything about it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be the case, I don't think, if it was us.
My cackles get up easier and easier as the days pass.
My patience is wearing thin.
Are you guys saying that wouldn't fly on I-49?
Or I-44? Or any?
I don't think so.
I'm just...
I don't think it would even give time for Joel to get there.
You know the
on a call
that wouldn't fly out there by the Neosho Airport.
No, I would be if this kind of foolishness was going on a regular basis. I would definitely have a very large. What did they call those V plows they had on the trains?
Snow plow.
Well, they were for getting cows out of the way
and snow.
But they had line. They were. Like yes. In the old 1800s trains, like on, Fortin to Yuma type trains.
Yes.
That would be a fixed
cattle
bumper.
Clearers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would definitely I would give them a little blast on my air horn.
A little warning.
Let them know that, there was pending danger.
It's just crazy that these people are literally allowed to shut down the highways.
I think they should probably protest on train tracks. That's what I think.
Yeah. Well, you know how that's going to go.
That's commitment. That's commitment. Like the
they're just setting up shop out here, just like a picnic. Look at the police. The police are all just standing there.
But you know,
smooth.
With their little bicycle helmets.
I'm just thankful I'm not watching anybody.
Joel, have you ever had to do the whole bicycle helmet thing?
I suggested it once. I wanted some of those spandex shorts. I suggested a bicycle unit.
Spandex shorts, Joel. I feel like it
How
would
far
be...
would you have to drive in Newton County, though, on your bicycle?
I would want just like maybe the Neosho Square. Just put me out there.
There you go.
That would be the beat.
A good beat.
To roll. That's the thing, though. You could recruit Jehovah's Witnesses.
I'd have to recruit their leg muscles.
That's what I'm saying. Right.
These people. The people are just going around the police with their suitcases
so they can get
to their flights.
That lady looked like I think she was in an Uber, got out of the Uber, and took her suitcase. Mm-hmm. Had she been at the wheel, I think we would be down a few more protesters.
She was over it. I could tell.
She might have set them on fire for them. But judging by the look on her face, she had lost patience.
Here is one at the Golden Gate Bridge, actually.
I drove through a city right after a protest.
Mm.
I can't remember. It was during the...
George Floyd.
Yeah, George Floyd protest.
Summer of Love.
The Summer of Love, yes. Mm-hmm. And the highway was just covered in paint.
Mm.
I'm not sure what the paint came from, but...
I mean, what does that
mean? It was somewhere by Tennessee, I'm wanting to say.
Really? Doesn't sound like
No, was there something right before the Kentucky state line? Maybe
Louisville.
It was by all the breweries.
Cincinnati.
That like where Jack Daniels. Oh, that's, I remember seeing all those signs.
Louisville area.
Were they having protests there?
Maybe.
I don't know. I thought it was across the state right before you got into Kentucky, and I just remember there was a lot of
paint
covering the roads. Like, people had just taken 5-gallon buckets and just went to splash it. Because I got it all over my truck.
Nuh-uh.
And
it was
wet like,
paint.
Yeah, yeah. It was still, like, there was a nut. That was the quantity there. And I was, so I did some Googling, and it was, they had protests on that highway earlier.
Maybe, it's ridiculous.
Sherwin-Williams got looted.
That was probably what happened.
They pushed a Sherwin-Williams
truck over.
Yeah.
What a waste.
And Sherwin makes some good paint. I'm pretty sure it was emerald because it took
everything to get it off your truck.
A lot of scrubbing.
Here's one in the Golden Gate Bridge. They're shutting down the bridge. At least they have those suicide nets now, though.
That's what I was saying. They're not going to have them.
Cops are backed up all the way across the bridge now.
Get back in your car. We're going to open it up very soon.
4 hours.
Yeah, I think it was a total of 5 hours they shut down the Golden Gate Bridge.
I'm sorry. It would take a lot more protesters than that to keep me from getting...
Look at this guy. This gray-haired guy is not having it.
That's the one lone conservative left in San Francisco.
Right. And he left.
The last of the Mohicans.
He's back.
He was like Abraham praying for Lot.
If he left San Francisco, he wouldn't have anyone to yell at.
Yeah, right. His wife's a pillar of salt, and he left.
So, yeah. All that's going on. And then, meanwhile, on the East Coast, you've got flag burning.
And I knew this was coming.
This is in New York City by the Hamas folks.
It was like
supporters.
A premonition. I was watching earlier, and I was like, yep, people about to start burning. Yeah, we got a flag.
Dude drives just tools by on a skateboard, waving a Palestinian flag. Do you know how easy it would have been to just knock the old boy right off the skateboard?
I'm glad I live in a small city.
And it's also held by what looks like to me to
that
be a
is
it what they would call a non-binary.
That is a, let me just clarify, that is a dude in a belly button shirt. His boxer briefs are longer than his plaid shorts.
It looks like a 1970s suit pants that he cut off. cutoffs.
No, no, no. That's hemmed.
No.
That's
Sherlock Holmes's suit that he cut into shorts.
Slacks.
That was Sherlock Holmes' recreational clothing.
I heard something this week that maybe this was in AOC's district.
Probably.
And she refused to condemn flag burning and yelling death to.
So here's what's crazy about New York City. It's actually a crime to burn an LGBTQ flag.
Well.
But not the American flag.
Here's the thing. That makes sense. He had some sort of accelerant on him, it would have been a flag burning without the L.
Yeah. What does that shirt say? Land back? Or something?
Land back.
Give the land back.
Something about, yeah, there's rivers and seas going.
That's definitely a dude.
Rivers and seas dancing in his
head. But
he's
got his mask on, so.
Well.
There's that.
At least he ain't getting monkeypox. Oh, wrong mask. Keep me away from the big cities.
I wouldn't make it, boys.
No.
I wouldn't make it 15 seconds.
Nope. Nope.
Me or it.
So that's happening as well. Yeah.
It'd be one of those hold me back situations, but I'd be looking for somebody to hold me back and realize that they were ahead of me. If it was anybody in my peer group, I think.
So also this week, in response to, did you see that there were four different states, I think, that had major power outages all like almost at the same time?
I can't remember.
I think Texas was one of them. There were several of the like Montana maybe. And you could probably look them up, Joel, and see which ones they were. But I think there was at least four states. And the FBI director, I thought this was actually kind of interesting because I didn't expect this, but the FBI director, Christopher Wray, actually issued a statement admitting what I think is the truth about the growing threat posed by Chinese hackers to the critical infrastructure in the United States. So he highlighted that these hackers are positioning themselves within the American infrastructure with the intention of potentially causing, you know, all this real world harm to American citizens and communities through, you know, hacking the infrastructure system, especially when it comes to electricity. But he specifically mentioned what is known as the Volt Typhoon malware, which has enabled China to hide and conduct reconnaissance and network exploitation against critical infrastructure such as communications, energy, transportation, the water sectors. He also emphasized that this activity is not just pre-positioning for future conflict, but an active daily attack on U.S. economic security through wholesale theft of innovation and personal and corporate data as well. So all that's taking place, too. Not only is it something trying to destroy, but it's also gathering that intelligence and literally stealing our innovation and corporate data. So Ray's statements, I think, you know, underline what we have probably assumed has already been going on with a significant concern over the vulnerability of the U.S. to cyber attacks.
Well, and I think Trump was timely in the Space Force. I mean, our satellites are really very vulnerable to Russia. You know, at what point do they wipe the grid out instead of even that? Just communications would be pretty stinking.
Yeah, I mean it's
probably. I think that's where you go instead of a nuclear attack.
It would actually be more devastating, yeah. I think, to the U.S. Oh. So listen to what he has to say.
All the TikTokers would be.
And this guy's terrible, by the way, but
it is critical in securing our nation, and we are in crunch time with our 702 authority set to expire next week.
So he's talking about FISA, right?
Oh boy.
Which we're going to talk about. But I think there's a possibility of them using this or causing this so they can use that to say, this is why we need to reauthorize FISA.
Mm-hmm.
So listen.
Now, increasingly concerning, is the potential for a coordinated attack here in the homeland, akin to the ISIS-K attack we saw at the Russia concert hall just a couple weeks ago. We also need funding.
What's the
Are
hand?
You, yeah, tell me you're seeing the Gaza hand.
Is that what it says? It
says, I'm pretty sure that says Gaza, and I haven't passed an
exam. Oh, yeah, it does.
Yeah, yeah. But
oh, you got more over here, too. Look at that.
Yeah.
In the crowd. Oh,
what's this?
Oh, what's this?
Palestine is on your hands. Palestine's blood, I'm going to assume. Mm-hmm. But they went with pink. Ketchup would have been a better representation than
this guy here in the background. This officer is not having it. He's looking for an excuse for one of those protesters to get out of order, I think.
I'm pretty sure.
He's bored.
But I feel like the real person he maybe should be chortling might be
Christopher Ray.
To counter the threat from the People's Republic of China.
He don't even seem sincere about anything that he's saying. Did you notice that? Like, I think it's a total...
It felt like he was late to a lunch date, a luncheon.
Yeah. He felt like there was something better he should be doing, but... So, I think it does figure into the FISA situation, which we're going to talk about, but I think the question to ask about this with the hacking of our infrastructure is, are we prepared for these kind of situations, emergency situations, and even defense as well?
Well, we talked about CB radios a while back, and when the withdrawal starts coming for communication.
Yeah.
I really need to drop by Love's on the way home and grab me a CB.
I don't think most people are prepared. You know, they're too worried about what Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are doing. Or, you know.
Well, that's what, I mean.
Who won the Oscar?
Ben, this is.
Or whatever.
This is pretty much the problem with everything is, I mean, where they're wanting us to look is probably not where we should be looking. And that's aside from the really, really ridiculous stuff like Travis Kelce and the Swifties.
So next up, and more bad news.
I feel like Oliver Twist, but instead of wanting more, tell me you've got
something good,
some bread for this poo sandwich.
Maybe toward the end.
All right.
So Joe Biden just gutted Title IX, and for those out there that may not know what that is. Title IX is a federal civil rights law in the United States that was enacted as part of the Education Amendments of 1972. It prohibits sex-based discrimination in any educational institution that receives federal funding. So that includes discrimination in programs and activities such as admissions, financial assistance, athletics, and other educational opportunities. The law initially focused on providing equal opportunities for women and girls in education and sports specifically.
But that could be prohibitive if you're not really a woman.
Yeah. But it has been expanded some since then to include protections against sexual harassment and violence and things like that. But so here's what's going on with this. And this is a tweet from Riley Gaines, who is the swimmer, you remember, who, you know, made her mission to expose this ridiculous movement to allow men to compete in women's sports because she had a man that competed against her in that category and took all the medals, as you might imagine could happen.
And more than that, the college, I don't know if you listened to her interview or any of her interviews, but like they literally had to be in a locker room with a man.
Yeah.
Changing and, you know.
Yep.
And the colleges were telling them, do not cause any ruffles here.
Yeah, or even say anything.
Yeah.
They were the weird ones.
She put in this tweet, in a nutshell, the new rewrite means this. Men can take academic and athletic scholarships from women. Men will have full access to bathrooms, locker rooms, etc. Men could be housed in dorm rooms with women. Students and faculty must compel their speech by requiring the use of preferred pronouns. all of this is included in this executive order by Biden.
Corn Pop is rolling over in his grave.
Yeah, to say the least. So I tweeted about this. I said, you know, never believe the left when they tell you that they care about women. It's an absolute lie at this point. They would rather acquiesce to the lunatic left and the alphabet crazies than to protect women, because that's what's happening with this. Like, they are literally taking their opportunities from them is what's happening.
And I feel like that's part of the outrage. Like, what is in it for the left to cater to the 1%?
I don't understand it. I really don't. And I think it is trying to pander to, you know, the most progressive movement. But I think it's deeper than that, to be honest. Because I think if it plays out like they advocate for it to play out, then it does destroy us within.
Yeah.
And weakens us within. And
literally consumes any rational thinker's thoughts.
I know.
And the outrage machine is churning it out.
It is. So next up, the U.S. Defense Department has created an AI-flown fighter jet. Hmm. Watch this video. It's the X-62A that can defeat human pilots, actually, in dogfights.
Finally, in September 2023, we accomplished another world first.
Where we actually took the X-62 and flew it against a live manned F-16. We built up in safety using the maneuvers, first defensive, then offensive, then high aspect nose-to-nose engagements, where we got as close as 2,000 feet at 1,200 miles per hour.
And while the X-62's unique safety features have been instrumental in allowing us to take elevated technical risk with these machine learning agents, in this test campaign, there were no violations of the training rules, which codify the airmen's safety and ethical norms, demonstrating the potential that machine learning has for future aerospace applications.
What could possibly go wrong?
I hope that Google Gemini isn't the AI they chose for these jets. There was a lobbyist that was like, "Hey, we got a good AI program. We can donate to your jets." Whitey is about to get wiped out
for a really good price, a discounted price.
Free.
Yeah,
tax write off.
But can you imagine this? You remember Terminator 2, Judgment Day? What was it, the T-800 that was Arnold Schwarzenegger's
character? I've got a confession.
What? You've never seen it? You've never seen Terminator?
Listen to this. It gets better. I've never seen a Star Wars movie.
Mm.
Never seen
Timmy.
A Terminator movie. Wait. I've never seen...
Don't even tell me you've never seen Indiana Jones.
I have seen all of them.
Okay.
Twice or thrice. I've never seen any of the Hogwarts.
Harry Potter.
I haven't seen any of those. No. Yeah, I missed out on a few. And I just never got around to it. And don't plan to.
Yeah. I think it was the T-800.
I'm just going to wait until it happens in real life, because that's where we're heading for this.
It is
with this Terminator stuff,
because that's what it was.
Star
with
Wars,
Terminator,
Star Wars should be. We got the space.
It was AI, and he made this statement in that movie because I could remember part of it, so I looked it up. But it said, "The more contact I have with humans, the more I learn." That was from Terminator 2, Judgment Day, and now we're here. Just a mere 20 years
real,
later.
Real close to things getting...
Well, maybe not 20 years. When was Terminator 2, Joel?
Let's find out.
It's more than 20 years from now. Because I was probably like 10 years old when that came out.
My cortisol levels...
July 3rd, 1991.
1991. I was exactly 10 years old.
Wow.
I was good.
I was exactly 2.
1991. That's the good old days, you know?
I was just past suckling.
Back when there was two genders.
I remember them days.
There were two genders and two Terminators.
That's right. So, yeah, the fighter jet that is now controlled by AI.
What could possibly go wrong?
Here's the thing. Like, apparently, obviously, the government is way beyond the private sector when it comes to
And that's technology. But it goes back to what Elon Musk's big concern was, other than profiteering with the OpenAI. It's who's programming?
Mm-hmm. Who's programming it? I mean, is that the...
Or do we just be like, all right, Terminator Jet, go ahead and just figure it out on your own. And then it's Gemini.
Who do you think those jets will target?
Well, if it depends who's programming it. Exactly. And it's a real problem.
It's a real problem.
If Gemini was not our little warning shot.
Who would you prosecute in the event of...
See, this is the question.
This is all the questions that Elon Musk was asking about OpenAI. He said, hey, this could be great. It's not going to be great if it's... I don't see any way that it can be great.
Well, and just like...
I'm struggling to see the silver lining.
Just like the T-800 said, the more contact I have with humans, the more I learn. Well, it matters what humans that you're having contact with, right?
I'm a little bit worried, too, that if I were AI, the world would be a different place.
Well, you think about it. I mean, all the people they're wanting to claim are the problem. I mean, if that's the people that...
The 98%.
...are programming.
You know, and I say the 98%, but I really do believe that sanity exists. Like, it's still...
Still out there?
It's out there. It's...
Common sense?
Somewhat prominent.
That's quite a bold statement, Tim.
I know that. But you brush shoulders every day with Democrats, with Republicans. Let's just say, let's bring it home. In Missouri... How many people are just irredeemably just insane in Jefferson City? Your honest opinion.
About 90% of the other party.
Really?
There's about 10% of that are you know, level-headed and have some shred of common sense.
Speaking of shreds. You're blowing my theory to shreds.
You think there's more than that?
I would like to think that.
Or do you think that it's
I'm not talking about confused or.
You're making the argument that the extremely far left is a minute portion of Democrats.
The loonies. 90% pretty much are wishing death and destruction on America or just have a really poor plan of how to get to a better place. That's like.
Here's what I think. I think that the most radical ones are what drives their party.
I agree.
And there's probably a third.
How many of them are ready?
Two-thirds, even maybe, that have to follow along.
How many of them are ready for a Republican Auschwitz, like putting us all in camps?
Yeah. That's a small percentage.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
but the ideas that a larger percentage of them believe in are what leads to that.
I get that, but I feel like there's redemption somewhere.
I don't know, man.
Like,
I've begun to lose hope.
Well, think about how many people just in the last 4 years have been red pilled.
Yeah. That's a
someone
real thing.
Who is how many what percentage is capable of being like, okay, we went a little too far, we got off the mark. I think
very few are willing to admit it and turn around, but
faced with what though? You know, I'm saying if worse came to
if
worse,
it really all came down
if
to
it came down to a civil war, taking up arms,
who would actually do it?
Are there 50% of America that would go in on that? And I hate to even bring it to Jefferson City. Yeah, I mean, and we have a We have good numbers.
Hypothetically.
But I'm saying, like, across the nation, how many people are that stuck to their beliefs? The absolute insanity, left or right, that they would fight for them. And I like to believe that two things. There's a lot of lazy people out there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who couldn't care less and just want to be left alone.
And then there's a bunch that are really incapable of actually carrying that out.
Right. And so,
which gives us the advantage if it ever came to that, which I hope never does.
No, and I truly hope that. I hope and pray that. But I'm just saying, I really think that we've got we got a few bad apples that are spoiling the whole bunch. Yeah. Is what I want to believe.
Well,
and I have to believe that tonight because this show has been a total downer.
It has been. So, along with that. Okay, so let's look at this. Let's watch this video and you tell me. So this is Katie Couric, which, you know, is she even still a thing? I don't even know.
I don't. Like, I'd say she's Katie right who? Up there with viewership of CNN.
So this is an interview with Bill Maher.
And just real quick, there was a show on CNN that was getting 40,000 views.
40,000 views? Was that Katie Couric?
I don't know, but I just saw that. Joel should probably
check this. We're approaching 40,000 views, man.
I know. That's what I was saying. I mean,
we don't get paid a dime.
Grok may be soon announcing us as almost as popular as a CNN late show.
So Katie says basically that MAGA is full of jealous, bitter, resentful people because they're poor, uneducated, and jealous of the elites like her. So let's see what she says.
Self-awareness, Katie.
And I feel like, to your point, Bill, the socioeconomic disparities are a lot, and class resentment is a lot and anti-intellectualism and elitism is what is driving many of these anti-establishment.
I think she was banking on us not knowing big words.
She's got a lot of big words.
She said the quiet part real loud and thought, I'm going to use multiple syllable words and maybe nobody will catch this except for
you can even see it like play out. She doesn't really know what she's talking about, but
tell me there was a teleprompter.
But listen to how
Hitler was writing.
Condescending this kind of thinking really is.
Voters. So I think that is a huge problem that we have to address. I mean, globalization and, you know, the transition from an industrial to a technological society. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been jealous of what someone else has or resentful. It is such a corroding and bitter, almost bile feeling.
Right.
You know, I would have loved to have asked Katie, how do we deal with 50%+ of America, Katie?
Right.
Do we send the old AI bomber
right
to the Bible Belt? What do we do?
Good luck. But yeah, I mean, that's the mentality of these people who, you know, think that that's what the real problem is.
You know,
and
how,
if those are the type of people that are programming the AI jet, who do you think the AI jet's coming after?
Yes. So forget AI jets. You want to know how to get one over on America?
How's that?
A balloon. They just don't shoot them down.
Yeah, they don't. They really don't.
I'm going to make
just an old-fashioned balloon.
Big old batch of dog poop brownies. Send it to San Francisco in a balloon. I'm gonna get who's that guy that the engineer NASA engineer former NASA engineer from YouTube
Fred Randall?
No, he's younger and cooler.
Okay.
Anyways, I'm going to get with him. He makes those glitter bombs for people that steal packages.
Oh, yeah. The Porch Pirates.
Yes.
Mark Rober.
I'm going to get with Mark Rober, and I'm going to be like, Mark, I need a poop brownie dispenser and a big balloon.
Maybe. That's easy enough. I mean.
You've been the recipient of a poop
time
brownie.
Release.
Was it a wake-up?
Poop brownie
was
balloon.
It a wake-up call for you? Okay, maybe. Maybe not.
So also this week, Congress passed the FISA reauthorization to allow the government to spy on Americans and conduct warrantless searches.
I was trying to remember what a FISA warrant was, and it's all coming, as Celine Dion said, it's all coming back to me now.
It also passed the Senate and is now sent to the president to sign.
Was that a nasty nugget in the bigger bill?
The funding. Yeah, it's got the Ukraine funding.
Oh,
did you see the videos of when they passed the bill, the Democrats all waving the flags?
What flags?
They were waving the Ukraine flags in Congress, just waving the flags. You should have seen Matt Gaetz's face when they were doing that.
I didn't see anything, but I heard some people talking about it, and I guess Lauren Boebert went toe-to-toe with some of them, screaming them down.
It's crazy.
That's I think there might have been 10% in that bill for a lot more than the big guy.
Yep. So Republicans, 117 voted yay, and 86 voted no.
Was this the funding?
It had it all. That's the problem. It was all in there.
The mini bus.
They put it all.
I'm thinking
the mini bus.
I'm thinking there might be. I had heard rumors of like $7 billion in the next.
Only $7 billion.
That's hard. Sorry.
That's hard to believe.
$7 trillion. I forget about inflation. I forget that the dollar is only worth 3 cents of what it was when we started out.
Yeah. Oh, my. So
what's after trillion?
You know, that's a good question.
I'll Google
that. What do you got, Joel?
So also in that package was $61 billion, Tim, for Ukraine. Just for Ukraine. That's just that part of the bill.
How much? 71?
$61 billion.
Oh, 61.
Mm-hmm.
Quadrillion.
Chump change. Yeah.
A quadrillion is after a trillion?
We're shooting for a quadrillion national debt.
Quintillion, sextillion, septillion.
Oh, man.
Octillion. This is starting to sound like a Star Wars episode.
Starting to sound like the national debt clock. Have you seen, I forget what country it was, and I'm not even going to try because we have a Googler, and I just get tired of being set straight. But there's a country that has a $10 trillion note. I want one.
Other than us, there's a country that has a $10 trillion note?
No, it's a actual
Zimbabwe.
Bill. Zimbabwe. Yes.
Oh, they have a paper note
that's a bill.
$10 trillion.
And I believe, what can a $10 trillion, $10 trillion whatever they have, note buy in Zimbabwe? Zimbabwe.
Inflation is really hitting the old.
No, I mean, and
African
this is,
countries.
This is,
they've got a $10 trillion note.
Yeah, but we forget that it's subtle. It's subtle. That's
40 U.S. cents.
What? Their note is a $10 trillion, and it's worth 40 U.S.
100 trillion Zimbabwe dollars.
Hey,
100 trillion.
40 cents.
Oh, 100 trillion. Okay. Yeah, that's what. So, anyways, think
You're
about this.
Me.
You're going to buy a gumball, but it has a, like the soda machine bill reader, and you have to stick in your $100 trillion. $100 trillion.
So, if that's the case, you could actually probably, like, if you had enough of those, you could get into the quadrillions over there.
Easily.
Yeah. That's only 100 trillion. You only need 1,000 trillion to get to a, what is it, quad trillion? Or
quadrillion.
Quadrillion.
Boys, you're messing with my Christian school math.
I,
That's a lot of numbers.
But it's a thousand trillion would be a quadrillion.
I bet their calculators are wild.
Yeah. They, I mean,
it's got to be the size of a 80-inch.
Well, think about this. So a
screen just.
So a 4 cent, 4 pennies for a 10 trillion note, 40 cents for a 100 trillion note. And 10. So you have $4, you're to a quadrillion. What do they call their currency?
I can find that out.
Use a little bit of that. I have a bad feeling that we might be running into another.
While Joel's looking that up, did you hear about on the student loan forgiveness? You know, we talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
So it turns out that they have found out that 750,000 of the households that are receiving the forgiveness payments make over $312,000 per year.
Lord, I've seen what you've done for these other people, and I want that for me.
Joel's believing. Joel,
I got another email this week. I'm forgiven.
Oh,
he canceled it.
I feel like it's
over.
They can't go back on it.
Now is all you got to do is get to that 300,000.
I should have went and got a student loan.
You should have gone to college.
You should have gone to online college gotten for 7 years.
Woke.
Right.
That's where it ended.
So 750,000 of them Joel are making over $312,000 per year.
That Unreal. Is.
Maybe it'll happen for me.
Joel, I'm believing.
It might. So last of all,
name
here
it
we
and
go.
Claim it. Name it and claim it.
Joe Biden again, talking about how many kids he sees that flips him off.
I've never thought I'd see a time when I'm going through a neighborhood or a rural town in the West,
since just
to see big signs that have a Trump sign in the middle that says F Biden, and having a little kid standing with his middle finger, 7 years old, 8 years old. Well, I promise it happens all the time.
I promise it happens all the time.
Because he just rolls down. He's what was that country song about dirt roads?
Which country one? Roads.
No. Oh, by the way, I went to a Tim Hawkins comedy event in Joplin.
Oh.
And we got to sing a little Country Roads. But it's Jason Aldean song about dirt roads.
Pickup game in a small town or something?
Yeah, I feel like Joe Biden for a second was just rolling down a dirt road.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I know what you're talking
Anyways,
about.
Anyways. Just seven-year-olds flipping him the middle finger. What a world we live in.
I think it's...
How many back roads does Joe Biden drive now? Mm-hmm. That's what I want to know. In his vet.
How many roads does he drive down where he sees Trump signs is what I want to know.
With F Joe
Let alone the seven-year-olds.
Well, we are talking about Joe. Joe went looking for seven-year-olds and found a lot of Trump signs, I think. Joe, you're telling on yourself.
Zimbabwe recently introduced what's known as Zimbabwe Gold or the ZIG. ZIG. That's their currency.
The ZIG.
They zigged when they should have zagged, I think.
That was their... They just came up with this recently.
Recently, it looks like they previously attempted 5 different currencies.
First off, Joel...
They just keep...
Joel downplayed this Christian school math. But let me just tell you, if you're a math genius and you're having to give change in the trillions...
Right. I feel for those Zimbabweans.
They had to literally bring Asians over just to run the counter at McDonald's.
I just can't imagine that. Like
I was just saying, because Asians are good at math, Ben.
No, I get that.
I felt like I lost you.
I get that. But
jokes are never as good when you have to explain them.
That's a lot of change. It's a lot of change.
I think that's the hope and change that we're heading for.
It's inflation. So that pretty much wraps it up.
We never got anywhere.
Anybody.
We never got anywhere joyful or encouraging. I'm going to have to listen to some positive, encouraging K-Love on the way home just to get through the night.
Just to dig yourself out of it.
Oh, yeah.
I feel pretty good.
I'm going to be... You're okay with all this?
Yeah. Every day above ground's a good day.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is true.
I mean, we didn't even get to talking about the illegals that are breaking into homes in Neosho, Missouri here lately.
Well, while we're at it.
We'll leave that one there, I guess.
It's a real problem.
Google it.
It's happening.
Oh, guys.
So anyway.
Mayorkas.
What do we miss about Mayorkas?
They failed to conduct the impeachment trials on him.
He made it out. Scot-free.
No.
Scot-free.
This is the guy that...
Did you guys hear Holly go off on him?
Yes.
It's awesome.
Josh? Yep.
Yeah. Gave him the what for.
Have you met Josh?
Oh, yeah.
Thought you might have.
Yeah, I knew Josh Holly before Josh Holly was cool.
I feel like we need to meet Josh Holly.
We can make that happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would. He's one of those guys I'd probably warm my hand up.
You would fanboy. I would.
Hey, I met the lead singer of Audio Adrenaline last night.
Hey.
Got a picture with him. And I definitely realized that I might have been his biggest fan in a crowd of 1,000 people. And it made me really think, man, getting starstruck is way easier than I thought it might be.
Well, anything else, boys?
Man.
No.
Not unless you've got something good and positive.
No, nothing positive today. Nothing else.
Trump's ahead in all the polls.
Yep.
Virtually all the polls. That's good.
It is good, especially in the swing states.
I'll take that.
Where they like to cheat.
I'll call that my win for the night.
There we go.
All right. So that's a wrap. Don't forget, go over to Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star review. If you can do that after this episode, man, that's a real friend. And also on Spotify, leave us a review as well. It helps us out. So with that, we'll catch you next week.
God bless.